neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 28 of season 3. The show is brought to you by Kitchen Table Communications and the Voice of Bombay Radio Network. And we are thrilled that season 3 is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Sometimes after an interview, I find a quiet place along the bay and record some notes to remember the event. Here's a rough audio clip of what I recorded after today's interview. It was never meant for broadcast, but here goes.
Sometimes people wonder why I'm doing all of this. Why do I want to go to people's farms to interview them? Can't I just do it over the telephone? But it's really for the farm tours, to get in a pickup truck or a 4x4 or just a hike back into the woods, up the hills, to find the little pockets of land that bear forth carrots, cabbage, potatoes, turnips every year. I think that makes it all worthwhile.
For today's farm tour, we're in Musgravetown, Newfoundland, on the shores of Goose Bay, meeting with Damien Oliver of Hillview Farms. He took over a retired chicken farm from his grandfather, George Green, and with help from family and a mentor, he didn't let the farm go fallow forever. And in the process, he ended up learning how to rebuild a farm and create a lifestyle that he just can't get enough of.
I love to see people farming. I love farming. That's myself. Love it. Right? It's just the lifestyle, and it's the way that it works. It's the way that you be your own boss. I like everything about it. Krista Chapman, she was my mentor. Great help. She answered all questions after questions after questions. So I thought for sure one time I had a role, but no, she got the patience of Joel. Humid weather really brings on diseases. Warmer weather brings the bugs. So you've got to have your pest management plan to know what you're going to do. Don't jump right into it. Make sure that you got somebody there alongside that's willing to help you. You're in the field and you got something over on you turn on. Make sure that you got somebody that you can call and ask on.
It's a frosty morning in early February, but I'm thankful for the low temperatures. You see, Damien's tractor couldn't start, which is why he had a few minutes to spare to talk with me now. Keep your toucan mitts on, okay? And join us.
My name is Damien Oliver, and we are in Musgravetown at my farm called Hillview Farms.
Hillview Farms. Was this a farm before you took it over?
It was a farm before I took it over, but it was a poultry farm.
So we're sitting in your warehouse, but it used to be full of chickens.
Yeah, actually where we're sitting there now is the packing room, and the cooler there, that was full of eggs.
Full of eggs, okay.
And so it was not vegetables.
Too bad you don't have a few eggs with the vegetables.
I know, yes.
So it was a layer farm.
It was 38,000.
38,000. So were you involved in that? Was that part of your family?
That was my grandfather, George Green. He had a poultry farm here first there. But I was only young at that point. And so then after that, as I got older there, I kind of went, well, I wound up trying to get at the vegetables and at the farming, but I didn't know what to do. So one day, I hopped on the old tractor and I went down on a field down by my parents' place, and I plowed up a little square. And that's where it all started from there, and that started from 1 acre, and that was gone to about almost 30.
Yeah. So you plowed it up and you grew some vegetables?
I did, I plowed it up, and basically I just started with, you know, I was just your spuds and a few cabbage and a couple of turnip and maybe a few carrots. And I was at that for the full summer because, well, I was working at another job besides that for that summer. And I was at that the whole summer. I was tending to the garden, tending to pulling the weeds, and tending to the vegetables. And I said, boy, you know, this is fun. I said, this is fun. I actually like this. And it was a lot better than the job I was at. I tell you. Anyway, I loved it at the farm. I always loved it at the farm. I always did ever since I was a boy.
Did you like the chickens too? Did you give a thought to
it? I did. I loved that, the chickens. But I was only young when the farm closed down. Yeah. I wouldn't even be a teenager. I was only maybe 6 or 7 when the farm closed down.
So you weren't about to buy some quota at that point.
No. Actually, mother and father had lent it to me.
Yeah, right.
So that's what that was at that point there. But no, this farm was a poultry farm at that time. Yeah. That's getting close to 20 years now, 18 years ago.
So how do you make the switch from plowing up a bit of land and then to become a full-time farmer? How many years does that take?
Well, the season coming up now will be number 6. I gotta tell you now, only for a few people around me that actually had a bit of stuff that lent me the gear to get started, like my grandfather. He already had a couple of tractors, and he already had hit the plows and then. Yeah. So he basically told me if I take tractors and go do what I want with it. Only for that, I wouldn't be nowhere near where I'm to today. I would be still doing this little hobby side farm, this little tiny backyard garden. Because I tell you that now, it takes a lot of time to get your farm built up to where you want it to be. But no, I tended to that garden that summer, and well, no, there was only enough vegetables just for the family just to eat. But I went from there and to where I'm at now, and that's on the wholesale.
So how many acres do you grow these days?
This past season, I think it was 22 in production. Got around another 10 acres there that were in the process of doing. So, you know, it got to clear, got to make the fees, got to pick the rocks.
And rocks. You got a few rocks even over here in Musgrave?
I don't think anybody here and on cannot say that they don't have rocks. I'm going to tell you that now. If there's the farmer and on come and said to me that he don't have a rock, well, I'm not going to believe him. I really don't think, because my God, the rocks that's around here, I tell you that now. It's like the grows over the winter. We can pick them in the spring and pick them all right up till we get ready to put them to seed. And it don't matter when you goes in with the plows next spring, there's just as many rocks there as it was that spring before.
I know they have these new rock crushers and various things. Do you just pick them by hand, put them on a cart?
That's what we did for the last 4 or 5 years. We used to pick them and throw them in the bucket of the tractor and walk in front of her and throw them in the bucket of the tractor, and that was a lot of work. But this fall, I purchased a picker, a rock picker that goes on the back of the tractor. So hopefully that's going to save a lot of manpower and a lot of labor.
What do you do with the rocks?
Dump them over a bank somewhere. I ain't going to see them anymore.
Yeah, right. They'll migrate back, to the field where they came from.
I think they do. I think the moose logs them back on.
So what kind of crops did you grow this year?
This year, basically, it's just your standard vegetables, like your potatoes, your turnip, your cabbage, your carrot. We grew some parsnip, and that's the mains of it. Yep. That is, it's basically the stuff that I know is basically just easy to sell.
It's just dinner.
It's just like your Sunday dinner. Yeah, that's the vegetables.
So you got into wholesaling. Did you start in that, or did you sort of do a market garden for a while, or how did that retail develop?
Well, started up at the farm market, actually up in Clarendon.
Oh, yeah, there, by the inn.
Yeah, started up there, actually, for the first season, went up there and sold whatever crop I had between on the roadside and up to the farm market. And it went from there. I mean, I started growing more and more crops. So, I mean, we still went up there and sold, but I had an abundance of crops that had to go somewhere. And into the process of selling, I kept it wholesale, and that's what we're doing now, is basically just wholesale. And we do hampers. We do a lot of individual hampers in the fall, like for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
You do it through the schools or some of those things too?
We do a few schools, like in the local area, and that's quite a bit of hampers there. This year we done up 3,200 for Thanksgiving.
Bag.
I think Christmas was another close to another 2,000.
When you talk to people who buy your stuff, what do they say about it? What were they looking for?
Well, normally what they look for is just like say, like if somebody calls up me and says, Damien, I want a head of cabbage, I want enough carrot for dinner, I want enough spuds for dinner, and I want one small turnip for a dinner. Basically, it's only just enough for, say, 3 or 4 people. That's the main of what you get, is that's calling in and saying that he just wants enough just for their Sunday dinner.
So you sell to a wholesaler, and where does that go? Is that in the region then? Is it a regional buyer who you could buy it in a supermarket up the way or something?
No, that goes across the island.
Do people know at the grocery store that they're buying it from your farm, Hillview Farm?
I suppose. I mean, that's the labels.
You have a label.
Bags.
You have a label on the bag.
The on the bags.
You have your picture on the label too, or
no? That's in the process of it being done.
So, do you have product? You have stuff stored in here. This is February, Groundhog's Day. How long does it last? How long will you have carrots and?
Well, the temperature in the warehouse is, I think it's around 2 degrees in the cooler here now, and that'll hold vegetables for right up until I've had vegetables here in this warehouse till up to May month, June month, and they would be just perfect in as today that you take them out of the garden.
Yeah.
They may look just a little bit faded, like carrots might just fade a little bit, but I mean they'll be just as tasty and as crisp as you hot them out in October.
Is that cooled naturally, or do you have a cooler? You have to put
that's just cooled by the how temperature. That's just cooled naturally. Well, and it was systems in there when they had eggs. There was big systems in there when they had eggs, but before I got into the farming, that was all technique.
So it's pretty well insulated then because of that.
It is very well. I think it's 8 inches thick there for sure.
And a day like today, 14 below, that'll help.
Keep it cool. That keeps it pretty cool, yeah. I tell you.
Do you have a piece of music that you like, a band or a song? Or
oh, boy. You know, it doesn't have to be like all kinds of music. Oh. I like everything from folk music to country to rock, a bit of everything. I only think of one song that if I'm in the tractor and if I hear it on the radio that I got to turn it off. It's probably Here's to the Farmer by Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan, Here's to the Farmer. Want to sing a few verses?
I'll break the mic.
Yeah, I'm sure you wouldn't.
Battle 2,000 acres of beans and cattle, but he don't ever get a rattle. He just goes till the sun goes down. Hydraulic fluid on his jeans, red dye diesel and 10 rows between, a cold one on the porch and a good night's sleep. Y'all hold him up with me now. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake of money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer. Subdivisions creeping on in. Neighborhood kids keep jumping his fence. He could double his money, but that'd be the end of a promise he'll never break. 'Cause he looked his daddy in the eye, and he's got that stubborn pride. He dies. No, he wouldn't have it any other way. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from grain to that harvest money. Pour one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter.
That was Luke Bryan with his song Here's to the Farmer, as requested by my guest, Damien Oliver. Today I'm in Musgrave Town, in an old chicken barn that's now a vegetable storage unit on Hillview Farm.
Do you have to rotate the cabbage or anything else? Do you have to check to see if anything's starting to spoil, or is there some maintenance you have to do?
Normally every week when we get the order and bags up the order, normally that's when you do your grading. That's the good stuff. The number one stuff, as we can say, goes in a sack, and that goes on a pallet and be shipped out. The number two stuff, say, like, especially with cabbage, the number two stuff is when you peel it down and then you make coleslaw. But that goes to somewhere else, like Mary Brown's, and as they takes it for the coleslaw.
So it's perfectly fine. It's just the outer layers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you use the inner layers for coleslaw anyway.
That's right.
Do you have to deliver it, or do they come and pick it up?
No. I normally take it, like, coleslaw, I take it to Mary Brown's, and gets rid of it. Yep. And the wholesale, picked up again.
Is there a month that's big in orders and some that aren't so big?
There's always Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's the two big ones, Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's days at those two times you don't know where to crawl to. That's because you need it there and then you need it over here. And then you've got to be, especially for Thanksgiving, you got to try to harvest and pack up the orders all at the same time. And I tell you, this backpack is hectic.
Do you have help here, or are you doing this on your own?
No, I have had one person employed. Well, he's laid off now. But other than that, his family. Helped me a lot, big time.
Do you have suggestions for people in terms of what we could do to promote more new farmers, young farmers? What would have helped you? I mean, you said you got a lot of help from your family and the fact that you grew up in a family farm.
Find a mentor. Like, when I first got into this, I got into the mentorship program with the young farmers. Actually, at Krista Chapman. She was my mentor. Great help. She answered all questions after questions after questions. I'm sure. I thought for sure one time I had a draw, but no, she got the page. Satan's a Job. I tell you now. No, she really knows her stuff. And yeah. she helped me greatly.
Yeah.
Like that mentorship program, if it was anybody actually getting into or wanting to start out farming, that would be one of the first things I would do, is go to the Young Farmers Forum and get into the mentorship program. Yeah. That really helped me.
Well, she's just sort of around the corner.
Up the bay.
Up the bay. Okay, sir. That's the right language there.
Up the bay, he is.
Obviously, the questions around bugs and pests and all that kind of thing, is that the sort of thing that really helps with a mentor? You say, what's in my cabbage?
Yeah, big time. I know the first one I started out, not first year, but second year when we put in a lot, I put in a lot of cabbage, and anyway, just the leaves started going purple and yellow, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have a clue at that point. Yeah. So when I started taking pictures and videos and sending it to her, and right at the bat, there was a nitrogen deficiency. So basically, add some more fertilizer and some more nitrogen to it, and I done that, perked up this kind, and I got a crop out of it in the fall. Yeah. Bugs too. You got to know what you're looking for in the leaves, and you got to know, because there's a 100,000 bugs out there, and they're all trying to get at the cabbage at one time. So you really got to know what you're looking for.
Do you have anything over them, or what's your strategy for trying to limit them? You just sort of walk the field a lot?
Well, walk the field a lot. You got to do a lot of scouting. A lot of scouting. At least, I do scouting at least 3 times a week. Okay. At least.
Yeah.
That's at a minimum. I might do it every day sometimes. Yeah. That's throughout the year when I know that it's getting warm and it's getting really hot and it's humid. I might do scouting every day. But you really got to keep lookout for the crops and keep a lookout for the pests.
And once you got pests, it's like some people put various things on it, salt water or whatever, various...
Salt water works. I tried that. Salt water works. Yeah, I tried that at my own just out of a curiosity one time. But I said, I wonder now, how would that work? Yeah. So I put it on and it worked a bit there. It worked pretty good and it made them grow, actually. It helped move, that's what's wrong. But there's another pest that you really got to watch out for, and they can do a lot of damage.
What's that one?
And that's moose.
Moose.
They can do a lot of damage in a short amount of time.
And they aren't hiding under the leaves.
No, and they're not hiding under no leaves. They're going to be right in the middle of the field staring at you.
You've had a few of those?
Oh, I've had a few. I've had a few moose around here now that's been eating more than you should have.
So do you have fences around, or it's not really realistic to...
No. We have got fences that we are going to put around now. Yeah. But the last few years just haven't been no fences. That's just because now I haven't had... I've never had the money or the fence actually for to do it. So basically, we should go back to the whole method of driving in on the field. And if you see a moose there, you basically shoot it out of the field and whole week is a frightened stays away.
That's right.
And just, I never shoot it out, but that don't work. He'll always come back again about an hour later. He'll be back again.
Is it possible during hunting season to go back there and find some?
That's no problem. I mean, normally in the hunting season, there's moose in there. Moose. That don't be a problem.
Yeah. Do you do your seedlings yourself, like in the spring, for cabbage?
No, not for transplant. Transplants, we buy it off of the transplant program.
Right, in Wooddale there?
At Wooddale. Excellent program.
How many transplants would you get in a spring?
Last year we done 75,000. Last year we done 75,000, and that was our cabbage. The turnip, we put that down to straight seed. We just put that down.
Can you plant it before the last frost?
Why, in turnip?
Yeah.
You probably can, but I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I would take the chance afraid that you pop up through the ground and then you get a frost and then little shoots that pop up out through the ground, they're not going to take a frost. They're going to die right off.
When is your last frost here?
It depends. I don't really keep track of it, to be honest. I just look at how the temperature is, and if it looks like it's not going to go down freezing, well,
that's right,
start putting in the seed.
Yeah.
I'm lucky by it so far. Yeah.
And your potatoes, do you get your seed potatoes from somewhere in particular?
Seed potatoes all comes in from the mainland, Nova Scotia. Yep. Comes in from the mainland. It's all certified seed. Yep. Elite seed is all the time elite seed, because I want to make sure that it's going to be a good product. Right?
Do you fool around with the variety at all in terms of potatoes? Find out one that really grows well in your soil?
Gold Rush is the main. That one is all around good potato. You can use them for just about anything. Use them for French fries, use them for mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, fall potatoes, whatever. He's all around, he's a good potato.
Yeah.
And that's the one that we tend to stick.
And carrots, same variety usually?
Carrot is normally the same kind of varieties. The variety carrot we normally use is the Napoli. I find they are really nice. They're nice straight. They do grow fairly long. They're nice and straight. They are cylinder the whole way down through. And they are a great tasting carrot. So I do find them to be really good.
When you're harvesting, do you have any kind of mechanical aids for that?
We got a digger for the spuds.
Got a digger?
The air for the spuds, other than that, the rest was done by hand.
So the carrots including, like...
Pull them up one by one. We crawl the drill and pull out your carrot one by one. Like it. And that takes a lot of time. A lot of work.
So you touch each carrot a few times, or you have to handle each one?
Yeah, you touch each carrot a lot. By the time you actually put in the bag for the soil, I'm telling you that you touch your vegetable a lot. By the time it's actually taken from the ground, washed, bagged, and soil, you handle quite a bit.
So you wash right in here?
We do wash here a little bit, but most time is taken over to Lethbridge. Over at the warehouse over at Lethbridge, and we do a lot of washing there.
And there's a GAP certification, I guess. Do you have to have that for wholesale, or?
You do have to have that for some things. I do not have it yet. That's something that we would be slowly in the process of doing. Yeah. It's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot it's a lot of stuff to do.
A lot of equipment to get to.
It's a lot of rules, and there's a lot of stuff that you got to follow in certain steps. But it is something that the farm, over time or eventually, will be getting. Yeah. We will be at GAP certification. Yeah.
Here's to the Farmer by Luke Bryan, one of the songs that my guest today, Damien Oliver, sings on his tractor. If you're ever in the Musgravetown area and you hear that song wafting across the fields, it could be him. Damien went to the College of North Atlantic in Stephenville to do a heavy equipment operator certificate before he got into farming, and it has certainly come in handy in clearing land. I expect you've heard the estimates of how much farmland we have in Newfoundland and Labrador, but I doubt that you fully understand the work that goes into making this land, often covered with trees and bogs and other natural golfing hazards, making it into productive farmland. I'm not sure I fully understand it. Here's another rough audio clip that I made after visiting with Damien.
Some notes from Damien Oliver visit. His grandfather took us around in the truck back into the fields on farm roads, woods roads, and there are little bits and pieces of fields here and there. 6 acres here, a couple of acres there, 12 acres there, and they've been hewed out of the forest. Some were cut down in 2018 when Damien started. One area had been farmed for maybe 70 years, and every year there's rocks to pick, which compared to people who are farming on land that has been farmed for 200 years in areas without rocks, I don't think they can quite fathom the experience. Nor do those who buy their vegetables, their turnips, their carrots at the grocery store in lovely plastic bags, nicely labeled, really understand what it takes to create a field to grow carrots back up the hill behind. Lovely view of the bay, sure, but the work that's involved in just preparing the land, getting it ready, and having to maintain that regularly. Lots of alder back there. The forest is always trying to encroach, and you'll cut an area until you find that there's just simply rock underneath and then or bog. So every year it's taking a little bit more territory for the crops. But this is the classic Newfoundland farm.
Let's head back to the final section of my chat with Damien Oliver, which starts with a question about the possibility of increasing his land under production. But now you may have a bit better sense of the work that such an endeavor will take.
What are your plans for the future? Do you have possibility of land extensions here?
There's crown land in there.
Is it wooded? Would you have to cut it?
It is.
Yeah, it's wooded.
It is, yeah. Foreseeable future, for what I can see, is basically I'm going to try to keep growing and keep growing until I can get myself sustainable to what I can actually say is, I read I'm good here. I am going to get no bigger. I don't want to get no smaller. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah.
Do you have to work off the farm sometimes?
Normally, if I work here, but it keeps me going for 12 months.
You don't have time to work on it.
It's never ending. That's like this morning now, was that call that the tractor was bought.
Which is why you can talk to me.
That's right. So now after, I got to go and put the charges on them and try to get them going for to finish the snow planter.
Are you still involved with the young farmers?
I do keep just following. That's what he does.
Well, you'd be almost at the phase where you could become a mentor yourself then.
Getting there, I suppose.
I've seen a few bugs and so on.
I've seen a lot of bugs. I've seen a lot of disease out there, a lot of weeds.
Are there different ones now than when you started? Is there any change in that?
I can say yes. It seems to me that it's getting more diseases around, and it's getting to be more bugs around.
this warmer weather, warmer summers?
Warmer summers comes in to affect deer. Like the warmer weather, humid weather really brings on diseases really bad. Warmer weather brings the bugs. So in that case there, you've got to have your pest management. You've got to have your plan to know what you're going to do for it all.
You do parsnips too, and that's kind of more niche. Okay, I had some of yours there this fall. It was very, very good. Great parsnips, you know?
No, thank you.
But do you find that's a hard thing to sell sometimes?
Yeah, it is. Because it's just not a lot of people like parsnips. I mean, they are stronger than carrot.
They're sweeter, though.
They're a little bit sweeter, yeah. But I myself don't like them. I find them too strong.
Too strong.
I don't like them myself.
Well, I'm surprised you worked with Krista. You're growing kohlrabi.
Well, I've had their kohlrabi. It is quite good. I've been over there and she made coleslaw out of it. She cooked it like it is. It's really good either way. It tastes like a cabbage, but it looks like a little turnip. Just good.
So this is early February. What do you have to do on a vegetable farm this month, February month? Finish selling the product.
It's basically what you do. Maintenance. There's all kinds of stuff to fix. There's all kinds of stuff to sell.
Do you have ordering seeds and all that?
That's probably going to be another month. Yeah. Maybe March month. We will order the seeds in because I don't start very much in a greenhouse where I buy everything from the transplant program, from a transplants. If I don't get seed till April, I'm fine with that.
Do you have to ship in fertilizer and all that stuff to make sure you've got that in stock?
Ship in fertilizer, yeah. Oh, yes, you have to make sure that you got your fertilizer order. If you want your fertilizer, you have to make sure of that.
Have you seen a price increase this year?
I haven't heard very much yet on it. Probably no one in another month or two. If it went up or went down, you probably know that. I really don't.
So there are a bunch of farmers around who get together and ship a whole truckload in at a time, or how does
every farmer around here normally is just gets their own fertilizer, just calls up and orders their own, gets it dropped after their own farm.
Does it come from the mainland?
Yes, it all comes from either Nova Scotia or up there, New Brunswick, somewhere. Yeah, yeah. I know mine comes from Agrimark at Chinchero. All of my stuff comes from there.
Did you ever try to use fish waste?
Never ever tried that yet. Yeah. Well, we've always just stuck with the normal fertilizer.
If somebody's listening to this thinking, I'm on the verge, you know, maybe I'd go into farming, what's your inspirational advice for them?
Don't jump right into it. I mean, make sure that you got somebody there alongside that's willing to help you if you got a problem. I mean, if you're like, say you're in the field and you got something going wrong with your turnip or something going wrong with your cabbage and the leaves are changing colors, make sure that you got somebody that you can call and ask on for to say, all right, I got this problem, so what do I do now? I would definitely tell somebody for to do that. In farming in general, I'm for anybody that wants to farm. If anybody come to me and said, look, I want to start farming, I would try to help them my best, whatever I could, right? Because now I'm all for that. I love to see people farming. I love farming. That's myself. Love it.
The lifestyle.
So it's just the life. Right. It's just the lifestyle, and it's the way that you work. It's just the way that you be your own boss. I mean, I like everything about it.
So even if your tractors don't start in the morning, you're the boss of figuring out how to get started.
That's true, too. I mean, even if the tractors are being cranky and they don't want to start, I mean, there's always solutions for getting them going.
That's right. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Yeah. You mean like in vegetable-wise?
It doesn't have to be a vegetable. I know you're a vegetable farmer, but you can...
Barbecue,
pork.
I love steaks.
Steaks,
yeah. Steaks is about the best.
Are there some good beef farmers around here?
Oh, yes. Fagan in the...
Nelson. Yeah.
Oh, Nelson Fagan in town. Really good beef.
Damien, thanks so much. Sorry to take up the time of yours.
No problem.
It's great to chat with you. And you made a chicken farm happy by being a vegetable farm.
I did. Yes, sir. You know, only for a few people around me that actually had to do stuff that lent me the gear to get started. Only for that, I wouldn't be nowhere near where I'm to today. I've had vegetables here in this warehouse till up to May month.
Really?
And they would be just as perfect in as today that you take them out of the garden. Yeah. Rocks that are around here. It's like the rolls over the winter. We can pick them in the spring, and it don't matter when you go in with the plows next spring, there's just as many rocks there as that spring before. It's just not a lot of people like parsnip. I mean, they are stronger than carrot. They're a little bit sweeter, yeah, but I myself don't like them.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of the show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. To send me a message, email me at iemke@grenfell.mun.ca. For music on today's show, we heard Luke Bryan with the song Here's to the Farmer. The theme music, Pluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Charlie Acuff. This show was made possible by a grant from the Community Radio Fund of Canada and is produced by the Voice of Bombay Radio Network and Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
I said, boy, this is fun. I actually like this. I like everything about it.